Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in a prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they had heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his own way. The Gospel of our Lord. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or irritable or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It hopes all things, endures all things, believes all things. Love never ends. Many a time a bride and groom have stood at the altar and have just heard those words from 1 Corinthians, and they are swept up as they ought to be in the moment of vows and rings and music and flowers and guests and the emotion of the day. But what happens when Christmas comes and they get in a big fight about whether they should open Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? What happens when he doesn't want to do the dishes and she doesn't want to take out the trash? Because when the ceremony is over, that's when the marriage begins. Another example. The mission trip group is about to go on the mission trip, and they are preparing, and so they've come to church, and they know where they're headed, and they're excited, and they've made a covenant together. They've made a covenant together about who they will be as a group on their mission trip. We covenant to not gossip. We covenant to help when the leaders ask us to step up. We promise to listen when an adult is speaking. We promise to include everybody. And the mission trip boss leaves the church parking lot, and 2 days into the mission trip, Jacob is sitting by himself at the back of the bus, and Claire and Lucy are gossiping about all the other girls. The covenant is forgotten, right? Ever heard the phrase, familiarity breeds contempt? Yeah. The more we know about one another and the more another knows about us, the more there is to complain about. It's hard to have grace. It's difficult to love when, sometimes it's just difficult to love. And so Jesus said, familiarity breeds contempt. He said it this way: no prophet is accepted in his hometown. It's as if he's saying, you're about to get really mad at what I'm about to say. But they were so proud of him just a moment ago. That's our boy. Isn't that Joseph's son? He sounds so wise. Until love hits the road. Until the marriage ceremony is done and real life begins. They were proud of Jesus until he told a story of God's grace and mercy for those who were not of the nation of Israel. Until they were not one of us. Until God's grace came to the outsiders, right? There were many widows in Israel, but the prophet Elijah went to the widow in Sidon. There were many lepers in Israel, but the prophet Elisha healed Naaman the Syrian. In other words, Jesus is saying God chose to bring grace and new life and love and hope to those who aren't one of us. Oh, it made them mad. It made them hopping mad. It made them so mad, they went into this mob mentality. They were filled with rage. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. That's how mad they were. They were mad. How dare he talk about God healing somebody that's not one of us? We're the chosen. So are you and I any different? If you want to get mad at me, go ahead. Are we any different? We are living right now in a culture that says to us continually, you have to be scared of X. X is not the chosen group. X can't go there or come here. God doesn't love X. Who is it for you? Who is it for me? Is there a person? Is there a group? Is there a nation that we just get frustrated that God might actually love them? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or rude or irritable. It endures all things. It believes all things. How dare God love that person? Ooh. Got somebody in your head? Got a group in your head? And then how did we get so entitled to God's grace and new life and love and hope for us to believe that we can control who God loves? How did that happen? Based on your reaction last Sunday, let's just start with something easy like the Patriots. It'll be fun to count how much money's in the Patriots bucket. Right? Or we Lutherans. Oh, we Lutherans think we have the best theology, right? We Lutherans have better theology than X Church or X Church or X Church. Oh, but what about those Democrats? What about those Republicans? Do you get riled up just thinking about it? That's what the gospel is, my friends. This is what the gospel is. This good news that we stake our lives on, the God that we come to worship every single Sunday, loves someone that we don't love. Forgives the sin of someone that we could never dare to forgive the sin of. And if we've missed that, we haven't been listening. If there are moments that we are not shaking in our boots because Jesus came to love all people, then we've missed it. And if we take our faith seriously, this kind of good news, which is bad news to us, it should make us mad. And if it doesn't, then I think God is calling us into a deeper relationship with Christ. Who is that person for you? Who is that group of people for you? I know who I've got in my head. Because entitlement is a slippery slope, isn't it? And let's just name it. We live in the United States. We're an entitled people. When millions and millions of people in this world do not even know how to read or write. When millions of people in this world do not get a meal at the end of the day and you and I get to go home and just choose a snack from the closet, we're entitled. And entitlement is a slippery slope because it makes us see distinctions about who gets what and why. It encourages us to see others and not just see another. Entitlement puts people into categories. And hear me clearly, I'm not just advocating that we put away our opinions about people's character or that we condone their behavior that is evil or hurtful or rude. I'm not saying that we shouldn't walk with eyes wide open. God asks us to do that. And yet I am asking us to reflect upon the fact that the people that we dislike or fear or hate the most, they are the ones that Jesus loves. We cannot put God in a box because God doesn't live there. Not in my box, not in your box. So last week at my continuing education event, one of the facilitators, his name is Jim Ledoux, and he's a church consultant. And so he goes around to churches all over the country, and he gets welcomed into congregations as they work with him to grow and be better for the sake of the gospel. And he goes into congregations, and they proudly say to him, "Jim, we do this, and Jim, we do this, and Jim, we do this." And then as the coach, Jim turns to them and says, "Why? Why do you do that?" And sometimes they can tell him, and sometimes they can't. And so I was thinking about us. I was thinking about a trait that you have said to me and I have said to you. That trait is, I think we are good at welcoming people. Would you agree? We're good at welcoming people. And we are blessed to be small enough that when someone who is outside, who doesn't normally worship with us, we notice them. We're small enough that we can do that. And so we welcome them, and we say, "We're glad you're here." And we make an effort to go up and greet them and talk to them. But why? Why do we do that? Why are we welcoming? Why are we comfortable with each other? Is it just because that we like our friends and we know that we're going to see our friends here? Is it just because it makes us feel good? Why do we welcome? What would Jesus want us to say? Why do we work hard at housing the homeless? Why do we work hard at feeding people? Why do we work hard at being open to the LGBTQI community? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or rude or irritable. It does not seek its own way. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. I might suggest that we welcome because God first welcomed us. There are many widows in the nation of Israel, and God went to not the other, but God went to another. There were many lepers in Israel, and God didn't go to the other through the prophet Elisha. Elisha went to another. Because God welcomes us, we welcome in Christ's name. We welcome because we're followers of Christ. We welcome because God asks us to. We welcome to bring others God's grace and new life and love and hope, not only into their lives, but into our lives. We welcome because God loves us first. We love because God loves us first. And once the wedding is over and the marriage begins, that's where the rubber hits the road. Once the mission trip bus has left the church parking lot, that's where the rubber hits the road. Can we live as God's covenantal people? And you and I are entitled. We live in this place where I can say I love you, but I'm going to go home and lock my door. But for many, 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 many people of the world, they cannot do this. This is a real life issue. Villages that ISIS has invaded, the Rohingya people, the Muslims, their government is just killing them, making them refugees. Who does God love? Not the other, but another. And love is concrete, it's patient, it's kind, it's forgiving, it's not irritable or rude. It believes in someone else. So I love the way the story ends. I love this ending.
They were so mad, they're going to hurl him off the cliff. And what does he do? He just somehow slips through the crowd and goes on his way. What a word of hope for us. What a word of hope that when we fail in our efforts to love another, that love always finds a way. That grace always finds a way. That new life and new hope always find a way to those who need it. Are you offended yet? If you're not, then we better keep welcoming. Amen.